I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. I know that this series that we have been pursuing stopped abruptly right before my surgery on April the 22nd. However, I hope that as we get going today that it will be brought back to your mind what we've already covered concerning Elijah and the lessons we can learn from his life and ministry. Although I suppose Christians can fall into many different categories by displaying certain habits or attitudes similar to those with whom they are classified, I would suggest to you today that many sincere born-again Christians find themselves in one of two very different groups: the Elijah kind of Christian and the Obadiah kind of Christian. Those who have courage for God and those who don't have courage for God. Those who know God well and those who don't know him very well. Those who are effective for God and those who aren't effective for God. Why is there this difference? How can you make sure you are or become an Elijah kind of Christian? I believe this incident in the life of Elijah throws much light on the answers to these questions. Will you bow your head right now and tell the Lord that you are willing to discover what kind of Christian you truly are, and that by his enablement, you will change to be the kind of Christian he wants you to be. If you're listening to this message and you aren't really sure you are a Christian, you aren't really sure if you are born again, you aren't really sure that if you were to die today or even next week or next year, that you would be in heaven with the Lord Jesus. Please don't waste any more time. Don't delay. Find out how to be saved. Call me or text me, email me, talk to someone you know who's a born-again Christian who can show you from the Bible how to be saved. This message today is primarily geared toward Christians. And the question, I guess, is, are you an Elijah kind of Christian or are you an Obadiah kind of Christian? And are you willing to discover what kind of Christian you are? And by his enablement, will you change to be the kind of Christian that God wants you to be? Now, would you follow along with me in your Bible as I read for us 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 19. Now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by fifties in a cave and provided them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we will find grass and keep the horses and mules alive and not have to kill some of the cattle." So they divided the land between them to survey it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now, as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is this you, Elijah, my master?" He said to him, "It is I. Go say to your master, 'Behold, Elijah is here.'" He said, "What sin have I committed that you are giving your servant into the hand of Ahab to put me to death? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to search for you. And when they said, 'He is not here,' he made the kingdom or nation swear that they could not find you. And now you are saying, 'Go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here.' It will come about when I leave you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know. So when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me, although I, your servant, had feared the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told to my master what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, that I hid 100 prophets of the Lord by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water? And now you are saying, go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. He will then kill me. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is this you, you troubler of Israel? He said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. As we study from this passage, these two men and what they represent, we'll see the marks or characteristics of a right relationship with God lacking in Obadiah, but demonstrated in Elijah. First of all, then, a right relationship with God is demonstrated by a knowledge of God and his ways. Obadiah does not understand God and his purposes. This becomes evident in verse 4 and verses 19 through 14. Obadiah can't see that God can protect his own prophets if he so wills without help from man. A perfect example of this is Elijah. Remember how God provided and protected him at the brook Cherith and then in Zarephath? Secondly, Obadiah thinks he has to protect himself because God might do something irrational or arbitrary. In effect, Obadiah told Elijah, I can't trust God. He will take you away and leave me to be killed by Ahab. Thirdly, Obadiah thinks that rescuing 100 prophets secretly is better than being loyal to God publicly. How often do we fail to witness or fail to take a public stand for the Lord, but we rationalize it away because we give money in the offering or attend church regularly? That is Obadiah Christianity. Fourthly, Obadiah thinks that God needs an inside man to be of help. This thinking goes like this: I can do so much more good inside this unbiblical or disobedient organization than I can outside it. Here's what God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Again, in Hebrews 13, verse 13. So then, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Fifthly, Obadiah thinks that compromise is better than confronting sin and ungodliness. The problem with this thinking is that silence gives consent, or at least lends respectability to that sin. And we'll talk more about this in next week's message, Lord willing. Please understand this principle, Christian. A faulty view of God and his purposes comes from a lack of close fellowship with God in prayer and a lack of knowledge of God's word. All these things that Obadiah thinks expose the fact that he doesn't really know God and his ways very well, even though it's apparent that he acknowledges him as the true God. In contrast to that, we see that Elijah knows God well. Notice what he says in verse 15 of our text. As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. Lord of hosts. Elijah uses a title that points out God's omnipotent power. Hosts stands for his armies, that is, his angelic armies. He has at his disposal an innumerable host or army of angels. Lives. This next word shows that God is alive and vitally concerned with our affairs. And then the phrase, before whom I stand, this next phrase that elicits a picture of standing in the throne room before a king, shows Elijah's conviction that God is sovereign and to be obeyed above all other authorities, including kings. God spoke to Elijah, and he always obeyed God's word. Remember Jezreel, Kerith, and Zarephath? Please understand a second principle, Christian. Obedience always brings a greater knowledge of God. As Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." You see here that the Lord Jesus will make himself known to you as you obey his word and love him. So we've seen that a right relationship with God is demonstrated by a knowledge of God and his ways. Secondly, a right relationship with God is demonstrated by courage for God. Courage for God means obeying God's word no matter how daunting the circumstances may be. Obadiah feared man. He feared Ahab and Jezebel's wrath. To summarize his words in verse 9, 12, and 14, "He'll kill me." He did not trust God's power to keep and protect him. He did not love God enough to be willing to die for him if that would glorify God more. In contrast to Obadiah's fearing man, Elijah knew, loved, and feared God. As we read in verses 1 and 2, and then in verse 15, which we just studied, Elijah knew God was holy, just, and loving. Elijah loved God enough to die for him if that were his will, as we see in verses 1 and 2. Elijah trusted God's wisdom and power and rested in God's hands. How do you get, keep, and increase this kind of courage for God? By spending much time with God in prayer and in his word. In other words, by getting to know him. How do you get, keep, and increase this kind of courage for God? By committing yourself to obey God's word by his enablement and power, no matter what the consequences, allowing yourself no excuses or exceptions. So we've seen that a right relationship with God is demonstrated by a knowledge of God and his ways. Secondly, a right relationship with God is demonstrated by courage for God. Thirdly, a right relationship with God is demonstrated by effective service for God. Obadiah's efforts were of little spiritual value. As far as Elijah knew, and this statement is not disputed in these passages, all God's prophets were now dead. So much for hiding the 100 prophets. Notice what Elijah says in 1 Kings 18, verse 22. "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord." You see, Obadiah's actions for God did not strike at the root of the problem, Ahab's and the people's idolatry. Please understand a third principle, Christian. Attempts to help God out that are not in response to a command from him, nor based on a principle in his word, do not bring about real or lasting results. And let me add a fourth principle. Attempts to do spiritual good while violating a command or principle in God's word will cloud the issue and create further problems. In contrast to Obadiah's efforts, Elijah's efforts were of true and lasting spiritual value. His efforts were in obedience to God's commands, and therefore the results were brought about by God's intervention. God cut off rain for over 3 years. People realized something was wrong. Ahab obeyed Elijah and gathered the people to Mount Carmel. We see that in verses 17 through 20. Let me read that for us. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" He said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah's obedience and courage here become an example to God's people forever. Please understand a fifth and final principle, Christian. Obedience to God's word will always honor and please God and bring about lasting spiritual fruit. Could I summarize for you some of the truths we've learned from Obadiah and Elijah today? Weakness and cowardice often come from neglecting fellowship with God, because man then becomes more real to you than God. A second truth: neglecting fellowship with God weakens your faith in God, which causes your love and loyalty to God to fade, which results in less and less obedience to God's word. A third truth: courage for God comes from faith in God's love, in his power, in his wisdom, and in his purposes. A fourth truth: faith in God comes from close fellowship with God through daily prayer and Bible reading and daily obedience to God's word. A fifth and final truth here: your relationship with God will determine your decisions and actions, and will determine whether you bring God glory or grief. Would you bow your head right now and ask God to show you specifically in what area of your life you need His power to change? If you could not honestly say that you have consistently been an Elijah kind of Christian, will you begin from this day forward, by God's enablement, to become an Elijah kind of Christian? A Christian with courage for God, because you are spending time in prayer and in His Word, getting to know Him well? Will you ask God to enable you to do it now? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for recording the life of Elijah. And Lord, even as in the New Testament we are told Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and it is there for our learning, for our instruction. I thank you, Lord, for these times of growth and strength and example of Elijah to us. Lord, in the next message, as we continue to see that victory on Mount Carmel, we rejoice in that as well. Lord, I pray that we would take heed from the times when Elijah failed, and that we would watch out for how that can happen in our lives as well. But as we look at today's passage and what took place there, Lord, may we emulate his courage. And Lord, may we realize that that can only come when we know you. And we can only know you when we spent time in your word and in prayer. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of each one who's here. Lord, for any who have trusted you as Savior and have repented of their sins and asked you to save them, been born into your family by faith in Christ, I pray that they would commit themselves to be Elijah kind of Christians, as depicted in the passage we studied today. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them, encourage them, and Lord, may they determine in their hearts to spend time in your word and in prayer every day, and that they would desire to be courageous for you, to be used by you in service for you. And Lord, as a result, may there be victory and may there be fruit in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.